Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier.
Game on 2FM.
Weekdays from 7.
Okay, we've time to go over to the USA. Our resident USA journalist, Jeff Shepherd, is on the line. Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today,
Vaughn? I am well. I believe you're taking this call on your 9th wedding anniversary to Julie, your brave man.
Well, she is a brave woman. And I think all the credit goes to her.
Have you guys calmed down since Tiger's ridiculous comeback last weekend?
I mean, look, first off, you know, I predicted last week. I didn't think, you know, he'd be the winner. I went with some of the younger guys, and you know, as usual, shows how much I know. You know,
and you're a Tiger man,
it really
are you
wasn't
not?
Incredible. It's not that I'm not a Tiger man. It's just I had grown tired of the he's back, it's here, like this is gonna be it. Like that had been going on for many years now, and I was kind of really to the point of, you know, I just need to see it, you know, more than anything else. It's not that I'm not a fan of Tiger. It's just. You know, he hadn't won in a while in a major, obviously in a major, it's been whatever it was, however many years. And, so I was just kind of over the storyline of this is it. But, look, I mean, he was phenomenal on Sunday. It was great. You know, there was some significantly bad weather moving through the South last weekend. And so, you know, they moved the start time up, you know, about 4 or 5 hours for the leaders. So we had basically kind of like breakfast at Augusta, you know, all across America. So it was phenomenal. It was on in the morning. And I think just I really enjoyed it. It was kind of almost like when they're in at the British Open and or I should say the Open Championship. I apologize. But yeah, I mean, it's great for, you know, it was great to see him come back. Michael Jordan called it the greatest comeback in sports he's ever seen. You know, you feel bad for Molinari for just completely imploding because, I mean, up until the 12th hole, it's he was like a robot. I mean, he just was just fairway, you know, green, putt, just no problems. And then it just fell apart in spectacular fashion. And all credit to Tiger. You know, he loves Augusta. Augusta loves him. He knows that course so well. He plays it so well. And it kind of seemed like, you know, once you got to about, was it, I think maybe the 16th, the 15th or the 16th, when he stuck his approach shot and it was like, okay, this is happening. I mean, it's kind of like the last hour you knew it was going to happen. And, you know, it was amazing. You know, so many eyeballs watching it. And I mean, it was the talk of the States for several days, definitely.
The NFL fixtures were announced, was it this week, during the week? Tell us about the Atlanta Falcons and their trolling of the Patriots.
Yeah, so, you know, the NFL, you know, for whatever you feel about it and how they... you know, the different issues that the league's had over the last couple of years. They know how to make a spectacle out of just about anything. And they have turned releasing the schedule into like a thing. You know, like the games aren't played for, I mean, it's April, you know, we're 5 months away from football, you know, but I mean, people are talking for 24 hours about, you know, the schedule release. And so, you know, as teams are getting more and more creative with the way that they are making their announcements. And the Atlanta Falcons put together a, you know, capitalizing on another very much hyped event going on all over right now, the Game of Thrones premiere that was on Sunday night. They put together a kind of a Game of Thrones style video of their release. And they took a couple of shots at the New Orleans Saints. It wasn't the Patriots, it was the Saints.
Oh,
and,
Saints,
you know, they're big-time rivals. And, you know, yes. And, you know, they're big-time rivals. And, of course, I'm a New Orleans native, so that's my team. And they took a bunch of shots. They actually had a ram running across the video, and it ran into a Saints fan, and then the referee came up and said, you know, incomplete pass, obviously making fun of, you know, the call at the end of the NFC Championship game, which kept the Saints out of the Super Bowl. And, you know, people kind of reacted, you know, one of two ways. They thought it was very funny because they were tired of hearing, you know, Saints fans, myself included, complaining about the call that was not made at the end of the year. Or, you know, you had people like myself who were saying, well, you were in the Super Bowl a couple years ago and you lost 28-3, and Sean Payton's 17-7 against you. So why don't you just shut up? So that's all I would like to say. I just wanted to go on the record essaying.
And fight back. Okay. Well, look, I love the NFL, but I've never seen as much as the opening sequence of Game of Thrones. So the whole thing was completely lost on me. I want to ask you about one more story, if you don't mind, Shep. Have you seen anything about the lawsuit that the soccer team, the women's soccer team, has filed against the National Federation?
Yes. Yeah. You know, it basically boils down to, you know, the U.S. women's national team is basically asking for, you know, similar pay and similar, you know, treatment as their male counterparts. And, you know, unfortunately, Yvonne, you know, in a perfect world, I mean, this would be a no-brainer. But unfortunately, we don't live in that perfect world that, you know, everybody wants. What I don't understand is, you know, part of the lawsuit is, you know, medical treatment. And I'm trying to wrap my brain around how a U.S. federation could say, we're not going to give the best possible medical treatment to the national team. Like, am I wrong? Is that not, like, insane?
Yeah, it's completely insane. And the background, of course, is their success rate. Elaine Buckley is still here. You know, defending champions in the World Cup. A lot of the nations have actually picked up on this story as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's they're taking a big risk themselves, like, you know, so close to a World Cup, you know, putting themselves through this, because it's going to take a massive personal toll on the players as well. But it's obviously gotten to the point where this is what they feel they have to do. We saw what, to a lesser extent, what USA Ice Hockey did in 2017, when they threatened to boycott the World Championships in a bid for kind of improved pay and welfare conditions. In that instance, Hillary Knight and Megan Duggan, the co-captains, went to university-level ice hockey players and said, the Federation are going to come to you and ask you to play for your country if we don't. And they got buy-in from players at all levels. And as a result, they got what they needed from their Federation. So, you know, it's sad that it's come to this level for the US soccer team so close to the World Cup, but I think they've got a very strong case.
That's kind of the only strategy you have, though, isn't it? To go to the second tier, third tier players and say, do you know what? Do you think that the USA soccer team has done that? Or
I would definitely think that there's something definitely a strong campaign going on in the background, because they were so supportive of Hillary Knight and Megan Duggan when they did it for the USA hockey team. They were very kind of vocally public. You know, there's community around this and there's camaraderie around this, so I'd be very surprised if they don't have a very stringent kind of backup plan of their backup plan as well.
The World Cup is only a couple of months away now, Shep. We're actually, RT will be showing all of the games live on television pretty much. What's the story in the USA in terms of coverage? Is there much talk about the World Cup yet?
Well, and this kind of ties back into one of the overall arguments that the women's team is making as well versus the men. I mean, the success rate of the U.S. women's national soccer team is obviously off the chart. You know, World Cup champions, you know, Olympic champions. I mean, they've pretty much done it all. And one of their arguments is, look, you know, that's one of the reasons why we should be getting paid more. It's because we're actually, you know, we're winning. They've had much more success in a smaller amount of time than the U.S. men's team has ever really had. And there's a variety of factors and reasons for that. But no, it will be a very popular event that will be televised, you know, here in the States. I mean, Alex Morgan and Megan Rapinoe and you know, the rest of the team. I mean, Alex Morgan's one of the most popular athletes, you know, in sports right now in the States. So there'll be a lot of eyeballs watching that this summer.
Before we go, Elaine, you might give us a roundup of the coverage that RTE have committed to.
Yeah, so it's kind of a joint broadcast deal between RTE and TG Cahir. So between the two broadcasters, all games of the World Cup are going to be live, free to air on Irish television. So all the group games and then into the business end, into the knockout stages. So I just think it's such a landmark thing. I think back to myself when I was young and I was so soccer mad and just bet into any World Cup or European Championships that were on the TV. The fact that people are going to be able to turn on their TVs at prime time, mm-hmm. you know, the games are going to be kind of 7, 8pm in the evening, and be able to watch what is going to be an absolute spectacle of football. Like, it's going to be, it's the level of competition is ferocious, and it's going to be great to watch.
It's time to go buy our sticker books and our wall charts. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this evening. We're going to have to leave it there.
Game on 2FM.
Weekdays from 7.